you just a minute. And once again, it is my pleasure to welcome four delightful guests who are going to take part today in this fun-filled entertainment we call Just a Minute. Let us welcome, first of all, that wonderful, delightful comedian, Linda Smith, and beside her, the all-singing, all-dancing Gary Wilmot, and on my left, that very talented and distinguished actress, Isla Blair, and beside her, a broadcaster, writer, Giles Brandreth. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I'm going to ask my guests to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. They're all on the cards in front of me, and we're going to begin the show today with Linda Smith, and who better? Linda, the subject, oh, lovely one, Shrinking Violet. Can you tell us something about Shrinking Violet in this game, starting now?
Shrinking Violet. She sounds to me like some rather quaint English comic book superheroine. By day, an elderly librarian, but at night, with one swig of sweet sherry, and she becomes the incredible Shrinking Violet, squeezing like a tiny mouse through the mesh of post office counters and solving postal order crime as it's never been solved before.
Andrew Springer. Yes.
That's very kind to have interrupted me.
I sensed a creeping hesitation, gradually overwhelming what was otherwise a winning performance.
We interpret that as hesitation, Giles. And so, Giles Brandreth has a correct challenge. He gets a point for that. He takes over the subject. And there are 38 seconds available, Giles, starting now.
I am a personal friend of that delightful actress, Bonnie Langford, whose performance as Violet Elizabeth Bott many felt should have been shrunk, if not drowned at birth. This is a great slur on this wonderful artiste, because indeed the performance she gave as the Shrinking Violet was remarkable. To have seen Lady Violet Bonham Carter, or indeed Violet Trefusis, who was a writer from the 1930s, and one of those Shrinking Violets whose letters actually were written on violet-coloured notepaper. She was a friend of Virginia Woolf, and together they got up to the sort of things that at lunchtime we don't wish to hear about, more sort of Channel 4 than the BBC, I have to say.
Well done, Giles. Yes. Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point on this occasion. It was Giles Brandreth who kept going on Shrinking Violet for 38 seconds. That's a fine achievement, Giles. It's a tough game, you know this. And by the way, we can repeat not only the word on the card, but the words independently if it's a phrase like Shrinking Violet. So at the end of the round, you won't be surprised to discover that Giles Brandreth has a lead over all the others. In fact, there's anyone to get any points. Gary Wilmot, please take the next round. The subject, Lloyds. Take it any way you like. 60 seconds starting now.
There are many different kinds of Lloyds. Indeed, there's Harold Lloyd, that wonderful actor who was one of the highest paid comedy performers in the movies back in the 20s. There are other Lloyds as well. There's Lloyds.
That was a good challenge.
That was just a mercy challenge.
I was struggling a little there, yes. Well, Gary hasn't played it quite as much as you, Linda, but he did jolly well. He started, and he kept going for a little while. Linda, there are 46 seconds available. You've got a point for a correct challenge, and it is Lloyd's starting now.
Of course, Lloyd's is also short for the Cockney rhyming slang, Emily Lloyd's, as in Nicholas saying to me, oh, my Emily Lloyd's are playing up a bit today.
Yes, it was terribly droll, but a repetition of Emily.
Oh, yes. I'm afraid so, yes, to get your gags over. The trouble is, in comedy, you often repeat for emphasis, but it doesn't work out just a minute. Giles, another correct challenge, another point to you, 36 seconds on Lloyd's starting now.
I remember Prince Philip once saying to me that name-dropping is very vulgar and should be avoided, Giles. But I must tell you about Lord Lloyd, who tried to mend the electric light. It struck him dead, and serve him right. It is the business of the wealthy man to give employment to the artisan. Now, he was a Lloyd from the aristocracy, whereas Sue Lloyd, at the other end of the scale, is a little man with a big talent who comes from the beautiful city of Chester. I also, of course, admired, as well as Harold Lloyd, Selwyn Lloyd, Chancellor of the Exchequer in the 1950s, and a successor to so many other distinguished people who have held that office.
Oh, best time for Giles Brandreth, isn't it?
I knew he'd be good at this. I just knew it.
Peaking early. Peaking early.
We don't know.
You won, Lloyd, and that was old Lloyd, isn't it?
Well, you did very well with
what
him.
What chance have I got?
You'll get your chance, Zayda, don't worry, Gary. Let us go now to Isla Blair, and how lovely to hear from you now, Isla, at last. Dear old friends, that's a lovely subject. Talk on it if you can, 60 seconds, starting now.
I've got some dear old friends that live in my wardrobe. Warm, snuggly jumpers, slinky dresses that I can't possibly get into if they're so old. A particular favourite of the dear old friends is a black buttonless jacket that's beautifully cut, but I've had it such a long time that there's a hole under the arm and it's got frayed cuffs. Other dear old friends are at the bottom of my cupboard. Sandals, shoes, boots that I bought for £5 at a market in Birmingham. For some reason, two furry dear old friends, my cats, Sasha and Suni, like to sleep on these items of footwear, which I find very bewildering, so it must be so uncomfortable. Other dear old friends can also be people, men and women you've known all your life, and who take you for all your faults and foibles and forgive you just about everything. It's lovely on winter evening, sitting round a fire with a glass of wine, reminiscing and chatting with great nostalgia and love for about everything. Help me, somebody.
I don't want to help you. I don't want to help you. Well, this was actually late by my clock in front of me. Yes, you went for 57 seconds.
Did I really?
Oh, it was brilliant.
So they were very generous to let you have the other 3 seconds of
bonus. Thank you very much.
Actually, to come on the show with such a little a practice at the game. Oh, that was really great. And not only does she get a point for speaking when the whistle should have gone, but also she gets a bonus point for not being interrupted throughout. So you have 2 points. What a lot of hard work for 2 points. Giles, we're with you to start, and it's the subject is censorship. I'm sure you know something about that. I'm sure in the days of when you were in the House, you would speak on the subject. But talk in just a minute on censorship, if you can, starting now.
I happen to know a great deal about censorship because 25 years ago I was, for a brief while, a member of Lord Longford's team investigating pornography. The noble Earl set up a commission, and I still have the raincoat I bought at the time, to inquire into these sordid matters. On this group there was, as well as him, a bishop, an archbishop, a rabbi, Malcolm Muggeridge and Cliff Richard, just to mention the younger people who were involved. We went over to Copenhagen in order to see censorship at firsthand, and were very shocked by what we discovered, because there censorship does not exist. Anything goes. And I have to say that I saw the belted nobleman embrace a totally naked woman and not notice it. She was unclothed, but his mind was on higher, more spiritual matters. And I have to say that censorship, therefore, is in the eye of the beholder. So if you are a clean living, wholesome type, then it won't upset you. But if you are, in fact, a closet, dirty old man, I'm looking at you, Nicholas, but not thinking about it, then censorship for you is necessary. Of course.
Happens in just a minute. Two complete rounds in one show. And not only that, in succession.
Better team.
Well, my goodness me. And Giles Brandreth not only speaking with whistling again, that extra point, but also a bonus point for not being interrupted. Giles, you've increased your lead at the end of the round. Back with Linda Smith. Can you go for 60 seconds now and make it a complete
record?
No, not
static.
Right. Geisha girls. There's something exciting to talk about, Linda. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Geisha girls. Well, geisha girls are basically an ancient Japanese version of the Spice Girls, but rather different to those particular girls of whom I speak. They can actually play instruments and sing a bit. Now, instead of being called things like posh and scary and sporty and baby, geishas are called things like makes a nice cup of tea and sits on the rug and wears a kimono and has knitting needles in her hair. That sort of thing. Much more appealing, I think. And geisha girls often give a wrong impression to the world. A lot of Western businessmen thinking, oh, hello, we're on tonight with geisha girls, but all they get is a cup of tea and it costs them £500. It must be very disappointing.
Almost.
Oh, I'm sorry. 37 seconds.
And what was your chance?
Well, it was a repetition of cup of tea.
It was a cup of tea, yes. Which
it was also, if I may say so, a slur on the wonderful Spice Girls, the most talented, who are wonderful. They are beautiful and they are brilliant.
If you say so, John.
I do.
This audience didn't. They had a very strange reaction to your compliment about the Spice Girls.
Mixed feelings, I know, but that's because some of them are against David Beckham.
Right, so correct, John Giles, and you have the subject of Geisha Girls, and there are 23 seconds available starting now.
Sex.
Well, challenge, yes.
Hesitation. I thought there was an intake of breath, which was...
There was an intake of breath. In order to speak these days, I'm breathing.
Giles, you know, in just a minute, if you breathe for 2 seconds...
I have to tell you that when Isla Blair is nearby, heavy breathing is part of the course.
I can understand that. But, yes, well, listen, it was a full 2 seconds he didn't speak, which is very unusual for Giles. I've known him film every 2 seconds of most people's time. Isla, you have the subject of Geisha Girls. You have a point, of course, for a correct challenge. You have 21 seconds starting now.
There was a subject in the paper, Geisha Girls, when they were actually tables for sushi. They lay there absolutely naked, and these businessmen were required to eat off them. They couldn't... they had to shower before...
A hesitation.
Yeah, there was a hesitation.
No wonder after eating off the naked bodies of Geisha Girls. I'm trembling, actually. Gary, nice to hear from you. You've got a correct challenge. You've got a point for that. You've got Geisha Girls. Keep going for 8 seconds, starting now.
I personally think that one of the nicest things about Geisha Girls is the wonderful regalia they wear with that huge cummerbund around the middle of their waist.
Gary Wilmot was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's equal with Isla Blair in second place. They're just leading Linda Smith, but they're both trailing Giles Brandreth. And Gary, your turn to begin. The subject is Singing in the Rain. I'm sure Ian Mester has followed that specially for you. I'm sure you've sung it in your Showstopper shows, haven't you?
No.
Why did you pause so long before you said no? I haven't done Singing in the Rain.
I would love to do the musical, but I can't tap dance that well. I can do a little bit, but I can't tap dance. Well, certainly I'm no Gene Kelly.
No, but you can sing as well as Gene Kelly.
You can sing
better than most. And Singing in the Rain is the subject. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Most people in this country want glorious sunshine every day. Well, when I wake up in the morning, I open my curtains and I look out, and I'm really pleased if I can see nothing but rain, because I put on my very best raincoat, I dash out into the road, and I start singing and dancing, splashing up and down in the puddles, just like Gene Kelly in that glorious movie Singing in the Rain. Of course, when you do think of Singing in the Rain, very often you could think of Morecambe and Wise, who did that wonderful pastiche.
And you've challenged
wonderful.
Repetition of wonderful.
Yes, you have challenged.
Well, it was wonderful.
And you kept going for 26 seconds, but Isla got in. There are 34 available. Singing in the Rain, Isla, starting now.
I like singing in the rain, especially in a thunderstorm, with lightning flashing everywhere and beautiful large drops of liquid falling on your face. The only problem about it is, when there's a lot of rain about, you look on the ground and lo and behold, the earth is moving. Worms hate them. Can't stand the creatures. But I don't know whether they're coming out because they hear me singing in the rain, or if in fact they just want to...
Oh, it's at Southgate. Hesitation. 9 seconds. Another point to you, and 9 seconds for Singing in the Rain, starting now.
I've been cherishing... I will take it from Isla because she is beautiful, sensual, and an erotic frenzy in a black frock. But from over there, I'm sorry.
Oh,
is it Linda? I'm sorry.
Linda, you thought it was
I thought it was Gary.
No.
I'm so sorry. I misunderstood.
Linda, calm down.
No, I'm so sorry.
I agree about the hesitation. Giles has taken a long time to get his breath together. And
remind me of the subject.
Of course, darling. I always remind everybody of the subject before they start. Right. Oh, you've got only 7 seconds. Singing in the Rain, starting now.
Singing in the Rain. Sorry,
I just challenged myself.
I interrupted myself. I guess that's the point.
She's actually... No, no, I mean, she's actually... actually challenged herself.
Yeah.
And also, Linda, it was a correct challenge.
I challenged her, but I'm psychic.
So, if you challenge yourself, I hope they're not going to make a regular thing of this, and it's a correct challenge. I've got to give you a point for it.
Okay.
Yes, you did hesitate, Linda. So, a point for that. You've got another point for hesitating.
About a second to go now.
No. Only you've got 5.5 seconds available. Singing in the Rain with you, starting now.
Singing in the Rain, a marvellous and seminal motion picture which involved Gene Kelly and Debbie Reynolds. And
as a whistle and gain that extra point, she's moved forward. She's now equal with Isla Blair, who begins the next round. Isla, the subject is Big Deal. Can you tell us something on that subject in this game, starting now?
You may think that coming on to Just a Minute to talk for 60 seconds is no big deal, but I'd have to tell you, you were wrong. People often wonder how actors learn lines, but that's not a big deal. No, it's very easy, especially when plays are written in verse. Shakespeare, for example, wrote an iambic pentameter. 5 strong beats to a line. Make me a willow cabin at your gate. No big deal. Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Again, not a big deal. No, I won't quote the famous soliloquy from Hamlet.
It's
a little bit of hesitation.
Such style there. 29 seconds you went for, so there's 31 left for you, Gary. Tell us something about Big Deal, starting now.
Well, I actually play a lot of football, and a big deal for me was when I was invited to Wembley to play in a charity game before a big cup final. It was indeed a big deal. I turned up at the ground about 11:30 in the morning and we wasn't due to kick off until 2:30.
Giles, a challenge first.
It was a little bit of hesitation.
It was a hesitation, Giles. Another point to you for a correct challenge. Big Deal's with you. 16 seconds starting now.
Between Dover and Ramsgate is a city called Big Deal. I call it that because it's an enormous place in my heart. It's actually quite small physically to look at, but if you look at the...
You've been challenged. What was your challenge? Deviation?
Yes, absolutely. Deviation.
Because it's not called Big Deal.
I can explain why in my heart it's called Big Deal.
But your statement was it's called Big Deal. It isn't. It's called Deal. That was a very clever challenge of yours. The way you went in straight like that. Deviation. Yes. Well done. You've got in the 6 seconds to go on Big Deal. Starting now.
I knew a little place just in Kent called Little Deal.
It was a lovely quaint village. So Gary Wilmot was speaking as a whistle and gained an extra point for doing so. And what is the situation? Well, Isla and Linda equal in third place. Gary just ahead of them. Just ahead of all of them is Giles Vandreth, who begins the next round. The subject, Giles, telephone numbers. Tell us something about those without reciting too many, I hope. Starting now.
I will never know how the producers of Just a Minute got hold of my telephone number, which is ex-directory. I'd gone away to Northern Ireland to get away from it all in order to finish my novel, because I'm a very slow reader. And there I was in the apartment that I'd hired for myself on the Falls Road when the telephone rang. I picked it up, and after I got through all the business of will you accept a transfer charge call from Pebble Mill, I found I was talking to none other than Nicholas Parsons.
He's right, there is a big deal in Kent.
But Gary, you were the one who challenged.
Yeah, well, I just think there was a little deal, but there is a big deal. But let's not make a big deal of it.
You just embarrassed me because I suggested to you that it might challenge at that point. What have you interrupted his flow? So what happened?
It's just because that came to me. That was all.
Right. Well, I tell you what we'll do. We'll give Gary a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption. Giles, you get a point because you were interrupted.
Thank you very much.
And you keep going with the subject of telephone numbers. 40 seconds available starting now.
The area code for Deal is 01273. Whether you go to that part of Kent or a different part really is immaterial. What matters?
Isla, why did you choose?
You said to number... But I think on the card it's telephone numbers.
Oh, well, listen. If you can listen cleverly or not, I don't know. But it was a clever challenge because the subject is telephone numbers. And he repeated number. So you have, Isla, 30 seconds to tell us something about telephone numbers, starting now.
You've got to be very careful who you give your telephone number to. And the phones that you have, you must be very careful not to get phones.
That's sometimes they keep going. They either don't notice it or they let you get away with it. But Giles wouldn't let you get away with it.
No, not after that.
You've got in there, Giles. You've got really fun numbers back. 22 seconds. Another point, of course, as well, starting now.
Nothing is more infuriating than calling somebody's number and finding, in fact, that they only have one number.
What? You challenge again, Gary. Yes, a repetition.
That was, yes.
This is so typical of this country. They don't like a winner, do they? They love a loser. That's what they like. Nicholas should know.
Now, what I want to know from this audience is, when they're rude to me, why do they clap as well? Yes,
just leave it, Nicholas. You'll kill him. Honestly, just leave it. Just walk away from it.
Walk away. What a very clever challenge, Jack.
It was,
somebody
wasn't
hasn't played the game very much. I thought that was very shrewd.
Well, you've either got it or you haven't.
So, Gary, a correct challenge. Another point, of course. 15 seconds available on telephone numbers starting now.
I haven't a clue.
Hilo, you've got it first. Yes.
Yes.
Well, we love having you here.
Yes.
13 seconds, Hilo, on telephone numbers starting now.
Telephone numbers of your friends must be kept to yourself because stalkers can get hold of them, and I've known one person who had a very bad problem with such a person who would make telephone calls in the middle of the night.
Actually, Gary, you challenged half a second before the whistle, was it?
It was on persons, a repetition.
Yes, you did repeat persons, I'm afraid. Gary, you are getting the gist of this game.
I am.
You have managed to get in with half a second to go on telephone numbers, and you start. No. So Gary Wilmot, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He has leapt forward. He's only 1 point behind our leader, Giles Brandreth, and Linda Smith. Your turn to begin. 99 pence. Strange subject, but an interesting one to talk about. Start now.
99 pence is a figure that's added on to a more usual type of amount of money, say £5, to make it sound like not nearly £6, when in fact that is exactly what it is.
Isla, you're challenged.
Pounds, repetition.
Pounds, yes, it's difficult to describe something without repeating, isn't it? So, Isla, you've got in, and there are 50... No, they're not, there are 49 seconds available, and it is 99 pence... Start. Oh, I've hiccuped. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't drink fizzy water, should I? Isla, 99 pence, starting now.
I'm a complete sucker for sales. When I see the price cut down of anything, I feel really tempted to buy it. So when I see 99 pence...
Yes, Gary.
Repetition of C.
You were seen too.
Yes.
So, Gary, you've got in there. 40 seconds are available. Tell us something about 99 pence.
I yearn for the days of...
He's still yearning. He goes. I could see you yearning.
I was yearning. I was there. I was back there. Yes.
So, Linda, you got him with hesitation on 36 and a half seconds. 99 pence starting now.
99 pence, just one penny less than a pound. There isn't a great deal that you can buy with that amount in this day and age when everything is so very costly and expensive. But when I was younger, you could buy an awful lot for 99 pence. It was an enormous fortune.
Gary, why have you challenged?
Enormous.
Yes. Wasn't enormous before.
It's too enormous. It's
too enormous. You can't be too enormous.
Yes, very huge.
But those other words don't come so quickly to mind when you're trying to keep going under the pressure. And with three bright sparks breathing down your neck, it's a tough game. Gary, you've got the subject. You have got 18 seconds starting now.
I yearn for the days when we could have the old money back in.
Giles, yes.
I think a little hesitation there.
I should stop yearning, really, shouldn't I?
This is not quite your subject somehow. So, Giles, you have got 99 pence. You've got 14 seconds starting now.
The cost of a call to deal is about 99 pence, depending, of course, on whether or not you have the correct telephone number. Always about me. And the change, which is very useful. I'm a little bit worried, though, about the advent of the exit.
So, Giles Bander speaking as the whistle went, gained that all-important extra point, has increased his lead. He's ahead of Gary Wilmot, followed by Ina Blair and Linda Smith in that order. And Linda... No, it isn't Gary. It's going to begin. Yes, it's you. Cranks. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I come out the stage door and very often...
Yes.
Yes, you heard almost immediately.
I did, yeah.
What a pity.
Yeah. Oh, it's human.
I know, but it's not.
You've got to listen to
it. Groan that got from the audience. Unfortunately, you are in just a minute of hesitation. Ira got in first, and Ira, you've now got 57 seconds on Cranks starting now.
Cranks is a restaurant, a whole food and vegetarian one, which opened in the late 60s. You'd often find bearded gentlemen with sandals sitting in there with very pale complexions. But nowadays, you see young executives, PR people...
That's in the Astros. Hesitation.
Thank you.
No point. 41 seconds, Cranks starting now.
It was indeed at this self-same eatery that I first encountered Isla Blair. I looked up across the nut rissoles and shredded carrot and thought to myself, well, better than beetroot is this gorgeous woman who is in herself a model of what a vegetarian diet can do. Bernard Shaw was a crank in his own way and would have enjoyed going to this place in order to consume the various rice dishes.
Yes,
a touch of hesitation.
A touch of hesitation enough to be called hesitation. And another point to Linda and the subject, and there are 18 seconds, Linda. Cranks, starting now.
That very same hostelry known as Cranks is to me not a very appealing one, because I don't think grey is a very attractive colour for food, which everything in that place seems to be. It has the texture of tweed.
And Ida, why have you challenged?
Deviation. It's absolutely the most colourful food you could possibly eat. There are carrots, there are beetroots, there are brown rice. It's
But to her, it all came across as grey.
She was watching in black and white, that's the problem.
I interpreted that as a sort of fantasy image. It all came across as rather grey to her. So I interpreted that as we're trying to convey that it was a grey atmosphere and a grey ambience to the whole environment.
Absolutely.
So I agree with you, Linda. So that was an incorrect challenge. Another point to Linda. And there are 6 seconds available. Cranks with you, Linda, starting now.
Cranks are also people who are considered a bit bonkers, a bit sort of mad and strange. And
Smith, she's playing for Whistle Wangs and gave the extra point for doing so. She not only brought the round to an end, she's also brought the show to a close. We have no more time to play just a minute today. Let me give you the final situation. Well, very fair one. Isla Blair and Linda Smith came equal in third place, just behind Gary Wilmot. But 2 points ahead of him was Giles Brandreth. So, Giles, we say you're the winner today.
I'm sorry.
Contribution they all make that makes the show so enjoyable and successful. So, my thanks to Linda Smith, Gary Wilmot, Isla Blair and Giles Brandreth. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons. Hope you've enjoyed it. Be with us the next time we play in just a minute. Goodbye.